Good morning. The world and everything in it is made possible by listeners like us. I'm Pearson Gerritsen, and I'm Chief Development Officer here at World. I've had the privilege of getting to know so many generous supporters just like you, and I'm grateful for the way you keep us going year after year. With Christmas just 2 days away, maybe your to-do list is just too long right now to worry about your December Giving Drive gift. I certainly understand that. But if you have a minute right now, that's probably all the time it'll take to visit wng.org/donate and help us reach our goal. It's simple and secure. wng.org/donate. Hope you enjoy today's program.
Merry Christmas.
Good morning. Today we remember prominent people from the spheres of religion, music, and sports who died this year.
Dwight said, "I don't like you," and every day I'm getting kicked. Every day.
Also today, the sounds of Christmas around the world. Today, the capital city of Nigeria. And scripture readings from listeners as we prepare to celebrate the incarnation.
For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land.
It's Wednesday, December 23rd. This is The World and Everything in It from listener-supported World Radio. I'm Mary Reichert.
And I'm Nick Eicher. Good morning.
Up next, Kent Covington has today's news.
President Trump last night threw a curveball in a plan to deliver coronavirus relief and government funding before Christmas. The president was widely expected to sign a $2.3 trillion package into law. But in a video address Tuesday night, he told the American people,
"The bill they are now planning to send back to my desk is much different than anticipated. It really is a disgrace."
Lawmakers in the House and Senate passed the legislation on Monday night. It would provide more than $2 trillion worth of government funding and $900 billion in coronavirus relief funds. It would also revive a federal boost to unemployment benefits and refuel the Paycheck Protection Program for small businesses. But that's not all it would do. The president ran down a laundry list of pork barrel spending tucked into the nearly 6,000 pages of legislation, including
$25 million for democracy and gender programs in Pakistan, $40 million for the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., $1 billion for the Smithsonian.
The relief measure would send another round of direct stimulus checks to most Americans, something President Trump pressed lawmakers to include. But he said the $600 per person and $600 per child is not enough.
"I am asking Congress to amend this bill and increase the ridiculously low $600 to $2,000 or $4,000 for a couple."
He also challenged lawmakers to get rid of wasteful spending. He added that if Congress does not send him a, quote, suitable bill, then the next administration will have to deliver a COVID relief package. Also on Tuesday, President Trump pardoned 15 people and commuted the sentences of five others. Those pardoned included former Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter of California and Chris Collins of New York. Collins was the first member of Congress to endorse Trump for president. He was sentenced to more than 2 years in prison for insider trading. Hunter was sentenced to 11 months in prison for taking campaign funds for personal use. Trump also commuted the sentence of former Congressman Steve Stockman of Texas and pardoned current state representative Phil Lyman of Utah. Despite speculation, though, not on the pardons list were members of Trump's own family, his attorney Rudy Giuliani, or the president himself. President-elect Joe Biden has announced his incoming environmental team. During a news conference, he compared climate change to the coronavirus pandemic.
"Folks, we're in a crisis. Just like we need to be a unified nation in response to COVID-19, we need a unified national response to climate change."
The Biden administration is expected to make a sharp U-turn away from Trump's environmental policies, and the president-elect said there is no time to waste.
"We'll bring America back into the Paris Agreement, and put us back in the business of leading the world on climate change again."
Biden also said his environmental team will reflect his commitment to racial diversity. His picks include the first Native American to lead the Interior Department and the first African American to run the Environmental Protection Agency. Both posts will require Senate confirmation. Hawaii's Kilauea volcano is still rocketing lava, gas, and steam into the air. After lying dormant for more than 2 years, it erupted into the clouds above the Big Island Sunday night. Kilauea then shook the ground in surrounding areas with a 4.4 magnitude earthquake. So far, no reports of damage in nearby residential areas. Tourists this week filed through the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park to watch the eruption.
Actually, we felt the earthquake, and then I went onto social media and saw that the volcano was erupting.
But officials are now urging Big Island residents to shelter indoors to avoid the falling ash. The last eruption in 2018 covered more than 13 square miles with lava and consumed more than 700 homes. The Department of Justice is suing Walmart, accusing it of fueling the nation's opioid crisis. In a civil complaint filed Tuesday, the DOJ accuses the company of pressuring its pharmacies to fill even potentially suspicious prescriptions for powerful painkillers. It also says Walmart used an inadequate system for detecting and reporting suspicious orders. Walmart fought back in a statement saying that the Justice Department's investigation is, quote, tainted by historical ethics violations. It said the lawsuit invents legal theory that unlawfully forces pharmacists to come between patients and their doctors and is riddled with factual inaccuracies. Meantime, 10 states are accusing Facebook and Google of conspiring to, quote, cooperate and assist one another in the event of a state or federal investigation. World's Kristen Flavin has that story.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is leading a group of 10 states suing the companies. They say Facebook and Google made a secret pact to help each other if they're ever investigated for cooperating in online advertising. The states say 2 years ago, the tech giants struck a deal. Facebook wouldn't compete with Google's online advertising, and in return, Facebook gets special treatment when using Google's ad services. The Wall Street Journal reports that the lawsuit spells out some of the contract's provisions, stating that the companies will, quote, cooperate and assist each other in responding to any antitrust action. Google responded, saying there's nothing unusual about agreements regarding possible antitrust threats, and a company spokesperson said the state's claims are inaccurate, adding that the company does not give Facebook special deals on ad buys. Reporting for World, I'm Kristen Flavin.
Israel is heading for a fourth election in 2 years. The country's coalition government failed to reach a compromise on a budget ahead of a Tuesday night deadline. That means parliament must dissolve and trigger a snap election in 90 days. That will bring Israelis back out to the polls for the fourth time since 2019. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party and his opponent Benny Gantz's Blue and White party agreed to a three-year power-sharing deal back in April, but since then both sides failed to settle on a 2020 national budget. I'm Kent Covington, and straight ahead, notable deaths in the world of religion, music, and sports, plus sounds of Christmas from Nigeria. This is The World and Everything in It.
It's Wednesday, the 23rd of December, 2020. Glad to have you along for today's edition of The World and Everything in It. Good morning. I'm Mary Reichert.
And I'm Nick Eicher. First up today on The World and Everything in It, notable deaths in 2020. Today we continue our recap of those who were widely known or who exerted great influence in the fields of religion, music, and sports. You may already know about some of the people in these categories who died this year. People like Ravi Zacharias, a well-known apologist, basketball star Kobe Bryant, who died in a helicopter crash, author and theologian J.I. Packer, as well as musicians Bill Withers, Johnny Nash, and Eddie Van Halen.
World reporter Anna Johansson Brown picks up our coverage of other notable names in these fields, starting with a man who would go on to become an international teacher of God's grace.
Cy Rogers spent a year and a half of his life living as a transgender woman. Born in 1956, he grew up longing for love and affection after his alcoholic mother died in a car wreck. He was separated from his father for a year. A family friend sexually abused him. In school, classmates made fun of his effeminate mannerisms and labeled him a homosexual. Here he is speaking at Fellowship Church in 2014.
I grew up trying to be one of the guys. I was on swim team. I was on football team. But I would say to my dad and my new stepmother, I might as well be gay. Everyone else has turned in the verdict, and I can't win.
He embraced the gay lifestyle, then began dressing as a woman and taking female hormones in preparation for sex change surgery. But in 1980, he said, God opened his eyes.
And in that encounter, the Lord did not say, go be straight. He said, walk with me. It is redeemed people who go to heaven, and my need was for a savior, not just a different sexuality.
Rogers began reading the Bible, praying, and eventually he gave his life to God. 2 years later, he married his wife, Karen. Rogers began teaching on sexual brokenness and reconciliation with God.
Oh yes, sex is a powerful master. But I can also tell you this, God is a more powerful master. You can serve your desires or you can bring your desires to God, admit them and submit them, and experience his mastery over mind and body.
Rogers died from cancer in May at the age of 63. Next, we remember J. Delano Ellis II. He founded the United Pentecostal Churches of Christ and brought high church ecclesiology to the black church.
You tried to tell them that I was Pentecostal. It doesn't matter.
Ellis often wore vestments and a tab collar while dancing, kneeling, and bellowing scripture at the top of his lungs.
And because I'm related to Jesus, that's why I jump.
He worked to reclaim the idea of bishops, clerical robes, and rites of ordination for black Pentecostals. He called it the beauty of the sacred. Ellis died in September at the age of 75. Next, a man who studied dinosaurs in the Bible. John C. Whitcomb was a theologian, Bible teacher, and early proponent of young earth creationism. He studied geology, paleontology, and history at Princeton, then earned his Bachelor of Divinity at Grace Theological Seminary. In 1961, he co-authored The Genesis Flood with Henry Morris. The book sets up a case for a six-day creation and a global flood. Morris founded his beliefs on literal interpretations of Genesis.
You know what chronology is, don't you? It's the backbone of history. So I say thank you, Lord, because as a matter of fact, that's how the Bible starts. The whole first chapter is chronology. Day one, second day, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh.
Whitcomb believed that the earth was only tens of thousands of years old, and that Job's descriptions of Leviathan and Behemoth were actually types of dinosaurs. Whitcomb's work greatly influenced the modern creation movement, especially people like Ken Ham, who founded Answers in Genesis, the Creation Museum, and the Ark Encounter. Whitcomb died in February at age 95. Next, we'll turn to the world of music. And a man who blended the sounds of rockabilly, Latin, and American folk.
I was just a lad of 10, my father said to me.
Trini Lopez died from COVID-19 in August. He was 83. The Mexicano singer and guitarist was known for adding beats to folk songs and turning them into international hits in the early 1960s. Lopez started his first band at age 15. Then struck out on his own as a solo artist. He released several singles that didn't get much attention. Then, in 1963, Lopez signed with Frank Sinatra's label, Reprise Records. His debut album catapulted him into the spotlight, and his cover of If I Had a Hammer hit number one in 36 different countries.
If I had a hammer, I hammer in the morning.
Lopez also designed two new guitars and acted in a few films, such as the 1967 war film, The Dirty Dozen.
Rich to plug one, as sure as you are born.
Next, a jazz pianist who influenced generations. McCoy Tyner started piano lessons when he was 13 and began playing professionally just 3 years later. Tyner was raised Christian, but at age 17, he got connected to the Ahmadiyya Muslim community and converted to Islam. He changed his name to Suleiman Saud. In high school, Tyner led his own band. He'd known John Coltrane for years growing up, and at age 21, he joined the Coltrane Quartet. After Coltrane's death in 1967, Tyner went out on his own, working as a bandleader, composer, and solo artist. His percussive style and pounding left-hand chords influenced other pianists and earned him recognition as a jazz master from the National Endowment for the Arts. Tyner died in March at age 81. That is the sound of the American Wild West, at least according to Italian composer Ennio Morricone. He wrote the scores for more than 500 films, including The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, The Mission, and Once Upon a Time in America. Many of his Western themes included sounds as part of the score, things like whistles, gunshots, and animal calls. The main theme of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is taken from a coyote's howl. Morricone died in July at age 91. Next, we turn to the world of sports.
And Maradona gives Argentina the lead.
That's the crowd reacting as Argentine soccer star Diego Maradona scored his controversial Hand of God goal in 1986. Argentina was facing off against England in the World Cup quarterfinals. Maradona flicked the ball with his hand, which is definitely against the rules, but he made it look like he hit the ball with his head, sending it into the net. The goal put Argentina into the lead. Maradona later led his country to victory in the 1986 World Cup finals. Maradona is widely regarded as one of the greatest soccer players of all time, but he struggled with cocaine addiction. That earned him multiple suspensions and fines for possession and use. He allegedly had connections to the Italian mob and became good friends with Fidel Castro. Maradona called Castro his second father and expressed his sorrow when Castro died in 2016.
Sí, sí, el día es horrible.
Maradona died of a heart attack in late November. He was 60 years old. Now, we move from football to football. In 1962, Bobby Mitchell joined the Washington Redskins as its first black player. The Redskins were the last NFL team to integrate, and Mitchell faced an uphill climb. Here's how he described it in a 2011 interview.
And I got the whites saying, I don't like you, and the names. And every day I'm getting kicked. Every day.
But he didn't let that interrupt an 11-year Hall of Fame career. He scored 91 touchdowns and ran for 14,078 yards, winning the respect of teammates and fans. Mitchell died in April at age 84. Next, we remember another trailblazer. Eva Seke survived the Holocaust and went on to become an Olympic swimmer. Seke was born in Hungary in 1927. She joined her local sports club and became part of the team that won a national open water title. But 2 months later, she was kicked out because she was Jewish. Then, World War II.
Nem is tudom, milyen fiatal mi volt. A nővéremet mindjárt eldugták, azt mindig eldugták.
In this interview, she recalled how a Nazi officer came to her house in 1944. Her father told the officer that Eva was a swimming star and that one day she would be famous. The officer left her alone. She hid with her family in a two-room safe house crammed with 42 people. She kept fit by running 5 flights of stairs, up and down, 100 times a day. After the war ended, Seke went on to break 6 world records. She won 44 national titles and 2 Olympic medals, a gold in 1952 and a silver in 1956. Seke died on Leap Day in February at the age of 92. Finally, we end today on the open road.
Final lap, on the final lap now. The white flag's gone out. John Andretti through the first of the chicanes.
Race car driver John Andretti died in January after a 3-year battle with cancer. He was 56. John Andretti was the nephew of auto racing superstar Mario Andretti. He began racing as a kid, starting with go-karts and midget races before graduating to real cars. He raced on dirt tracks and super speedways and competed in dragsters and endurance races. In 1994, he became the first driver to compete in both the Indy 500 and the NASCAR 600-mile night race in North Carolina on the same day. John Andretti's son, Jarrett, is following in his footsteps. He made his racing debut in 2010. Reporting for World, I'm Anna Johansson Brown.
Well, the bond between a man and his dog can be a powerful thing, powerful enough to motivate a man to victory in a fist fight with a wild animal, one that tips the scales at 350 pounds. You may remember the story about the Florida man wrestling an alligator to save his dog. Well, this story involves a California man who fought with a bear. Caleb Benham told television station KOVR that he was outside near his home with his 90-pound pit bull, Buddy.
And I heard a growl, looked over the hillside, and then about 7,500 feet down, the bear was dragging him by his head, had his head in his mouth.
Yeah, just matter of fact, you know, and without hesitation, Benham rushed after the bear.
I just ran down there, plowed into the bear, tackled it, and grabbed it by its throat and started hitting it in the face and eye till it let him go.
You know, these bears, they never learn. Benham then rushed his dog to a veterinary hospital, and after nearly 4 hours of emergency surgery, Buddy is now on the mend. It's the world and everything in it. Today is Wednesday, December 23rd. Thank you for turning to World Radio to help start your day. Good morning. I'm Nick Eicher.
And I'm Mary Reichard. Coming next on The World and Everything in It, Christmas around the world. Yesterday, we heard the sounds of the season from Taipei, Taiwan. Today, we travel nearly 4,000 miles southwest to Abuja, Nigeria, where Christmas may not include snow, but many traditions are still familiar. World correspondent Onize Ohikere is our guide.
Nigerians mark celebrations with music, family gatherings, and colorful outfits. Christmas is no different. Shops string up colorful lights, green and red decorations, and play music in the background.
Welcome to church this morning.
Several churches join in with Christmas carols and nativity plays. Nigeria is nearly evenly split between Christians and Muslims.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
On the last Sunday before Christmas, several people wearing masks spread out across the chairs inside Family Worship Center, a church in Abuja, Nigeria's capital city. Others watch online. The two morning services feature a Christmas presentation with the choir leading the program. Here they sing a lively version of Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled.
Joyful
all ye nations rise, join the triumph. Christ is born in Bethlehem.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
His heaven adore,
Christ the everlasting Lord.
Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Child in flesh, the Godhead see.
Yeah.
Incarnate deity.
Please, as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel.
Reporting for World, I'm Onize Ohikere in Abuja, Nigeria.
The angels sing.
Merry Christmas.
The herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King.
Hark
the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King.
Today is Wednesday, December 23rd. Good morning. This is The World and Everything in It from listener-supported World Radio. I'm Mary Reichard.
And I'm Nick Eicher. Well, it's time now to return to the Scriptures in anticipation of Christ's coming. Here now with selections from the Old and New Testaments are listeners Carrie Gray, Katie Nelson, Kelly Miller, the Avery family, Mark Kubitschek, Lily Repnack, Joy Davenport, Melissa Ford, Hannah Hewlin, Kristen Robson, Justin Jones, Cynthia Longabaugh, and Tara Allen.
Psalm 85, 1 and 2, 8 through 13. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way.
Mark 1, 1 through 8. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet,
Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins.
Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins.
Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey.
And he preached, saying,
After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie.
I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Second Peter 3, 8 through 15. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day.
The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness.
Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God.
That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat.
But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation.
Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote with the wisdom God gave him.
Tomorrow, the last installment for our 2020 remembrances from the field of entertainment and Christmas music from Switzerland. That and more tomorrow. I'm Nick Eicher.
And I'm Mary Reichard. The World and Everything in It comes to you from World Radio. World's mission is biblically objective journalism that informs, educates, and inspires. Reminder about our December giving drive, wng.org/donate. It's your support that keeps us strong. Let's make 2021 our best year ever for sound journalism, grounded in facts and biblical truth. That's wng.org/donate. The Apostle Paul taught us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Go now in grace and peace.